brother.
God,
what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, I brother,
can
like,
dig it.
Solid. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time for the Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of Harvest Mental Health Services, and I'm Larry Williams. Roger's in the background, and happy Saturday, everybody. It's been a really, really busy week, and the weather has been kind of annoying a little bit, but, you know, we're going to keep pushing forward. Guys, I understand that the COVID is apparently, you know, coming to a pause, as we are being led to believe, and because of the vaccines and also a lot of the social distancing and mask wearing that's helped us get to this point where, you know, we're expecting to be COVID-less in July, at least. For the majority of the folks, and I'm looking at this news and seeing that okay, when we get ready to travel, how are we going to prove that we've been vaccinated? What is I've heard that there's things on the table, anywhere from passport, vaccination passports to other things. How would that work? And is it necessary?
Well, I think it's necessary. It's going to be interesting. We talk about having to travel and what will be the requirements for traveling. You know, and I'm certainly concerned about it because I plan to take a trip out of the country, you know, this summer. So, but I would expect that where we're going and possibly some of the other places will require some type of identification indicating that you have taken at least one of the vaccines. Of course, I have. I took the J&J because I only wanted to take one. And of course, there are some clots attributed to that, but only 28, I understand, thus far. So I feel good about my vaccine, and I see Jarman. I know you feel good. I think you had, what, the Pfizer vaccine? Oh, you shaking your head?
No. No. Not yet.
Well, John, tell us what you think about the passports and unmask.
Well, I'm going to pose a question that, you know, what about those who still aren't comfortable yet and, you know, needing to have these mandates in place for everyone, but everybody still may not be comfortable.
Comfortable how, John?
Just receiving the vaccine and the potential side effects of it. So if they're not comfortable getting the vaccines, does that mean that they won't be able to travel? Or is that going to restrict people from being able to engage in certain activities because this is going to be mandated for everyone to have? You know, for traveling out of the country.
Excellent points, because that's what, you know, the CDC is weighing now, whether there's an opportunity, whether we should. Well, the administration has said that they really don't want to get back into having folks, you know, required to carry a vaccination passport. But I think that, you know, if you're a frequent traveler, you would be more comfortable as Doc.
Just like Doc was saying, if you are a frequent traveler, you would be more comfortable with having that proof of being vaccinated in order to travel out of the country. I don't know about maybe traveling within the country, but we'll see as everything continues to unfold surrounding the vaccinations. I still see that some of the restaurants and some of the stores have the signs up where you're required to wear a mask. I don't always see everyone abiding by that, but it doesn't seem like, you know, the stores are making a big deal out of it, but they still would like people to mask up when they are indoors.
But what about the CDC? They have some specific guidance on whether you should wear a mask or whatever, right? And what CDC is saying is that if you're fully vaccinated, you can go without wearing a mask in most spots. And of course, I think with anything, you need to use common sense. You don't need to wait for the CDC or the mayor or anyone else to tell us what to do. I think we as grownups, you know, we need to take the responsibility for ourselves. You know, we know this thing is dangerous. I would encourage everyone really to take it, because you're going to find that it's going to be difficult to move around without some indication that you've taken one of these vaccinations.
Yeah, and Doc, you know that the government really can't tell you, you know, that you have to take this vaccine. So, you know, that's going to be impossible to navigate. But May is Mental Health Month, Jarman. What's going on?
Yes, it is, Larry. You know I'm excited about mental health. So I just want to remind our listeners and the community to be aware of your state of mind, you know, and whether you are living day to day with a healthy mind. Are your thoughts healthy? Are your feelings healthy? Are your behaviors healthy? So that's what May is set aside for us to assess, you know, take a look at, do some introspection, and to see whether what we're doing on a day to day basis and how we are operating in our relationships with people, if it's our state of mind that's causing problems. Because, you know, if you don't have a healthy state of mind, it's going to affect your relationships as well. And it can affect your performance at school, your performance on your job. So do some introspection and look into whether your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are healthy. And then if you feel like you are having frequent negative thoughts and behaviors, check with your primary care physician and take your children to see their pediatrician and let them know what's going on, so a further assessment can be done and a referral can be made to a mental health professional to help provide that needed support.
So Jarman, as a mental health professional, how are you advising your clients in that business? I mean, you're confronted with talking with the parent, talking to children and others. You know, what are your thoughts around that?
Well, what we do initially when we receive a new client is we do that first intake assessment, and we try to gather as much information as we can. The first thing I would say is to be honest. I mean, you know, the professional can't help you if you're not disclosing really what's going on with the child, what's going on in the household, what may be going on even at school in the classroom. So based on the information that we receive in that intake, then we're able to respond. So it's never cookie cutter. It's always based on what the information that we receive, and then we're able to best assist them from that point.
But you would definitely encourage us to seek out help when we have these feelings.
Yes, yes.
So these feelings that I've been having that's in my head, I don't know where they're coming from. You think I can get some help at my age with these feelings?
Yes, you can get help at your age.
I'm having these feelings about how I'm being treated right here in Jacksonville, and how I see other people being treated and how people really don't have an opportunity to provide input. You know, we have a situation now where we don't have any input in terms of what's going on with this, with all the money that's coming into Jacksonville.
Well, yes, even, you know, things that happen in the community and society can be stressful, you know, to people. So yes, you can talk to a professional about that. So absolutely, Doc. We accept children on up to seniors. And so with that being said, again, take note of Mental Health Awareness Month and make sure that you have a healthy state of mind. And we're going to take our first music break. And in a moment, we're going to be back. This is Praise 107.9, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back.
To do ends to make, but I'm just thankful for what I've got. I've been down to dollar one, but I know where my help comes from. Right on time, ain't that just like God? I see blessings falling out of nowhere, and I'm thinking, ain't that just like God? Ain't that just like God? The world
morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. It's Larry Williams, along with Dr. Danford and Jarman Leitner. And we've been talking a little bit about everything on a potpourri Saturday morning. And thank you all for listening. And hopefully we're sharing some information that you haven't heard or maybe in a different light. So, Jarman and Doc, there was a gas outage, shortage or something this past week. And I understand that along I-95, there was even some fisticuffs at some of the truck stops there. Was any of you affected by the shortage?
Yes, I was, Larry. I went to get gas on one of those days, two gas stations that I had gone to were completely out of gas. So by the time I got to the third gas station, it was a very long line to get gas. And that was in the morning. But by the end of the day, after I had left out of the Clay County area and came back, they were out of gas. So I did experience a shortage in my area. What about you, Doc?
Well, Jarman, you live down in the country, right? And
closer to the rural, yes.
Everybody's riding in a pickup truck, and they not only do they fill up their truck, but they fill up all the extra gas cans. And
yes.
Doc, that's profiling, Doc.
Well, I'm just telling you the way it is. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, we still have to be safe even with filling up those gas cans, because we do see that a Hummer, you know, burst into flames from having about four of those gas containers filled with gas in their car. And there were reports of people just panicking, putting gas in any kind of container to take it. And that's not safe. We can't throw caution out the window, you know, even in a crisis. So
we need to put bags of toilet paper in the vehicles as well. You know, we hoard everything. So, you know, we don't need... You know, we don't need a tank full and two gas containers. You know, it just
it's definitely an overreaction to something. And thank God that the cyber attack has been thwarted and the pipelines are back open and operating. And you know, again, this is really the results of lack of cybersecurity protection in the United States, and that the past administration was the worst at working on that, especially against Russia and these countries who always are involved in nefarious things with the United States.
Well, guys, wait, Larry. Guys, it was a funny post that I saw, you know, in reference to cyber attack. Somebody posted and said, another cyber attack, you know, why don't y'all ever attack student loans? You know, I need y'all to focus, you know, so they attack everything but the things that are going to benefit a lot of the people. So anyway.
Yeah. So okay, and we could point to a lot of different things where that could be a problem, and the thing of it is that we're teasing about it now, but it could become very serious. Our own businesses and organizations could become attacked by some of these cyber criminals. And for the most part, this is one of the most underreported crimes in the United States. Oftentimes people are embarrassed about it, that they were, their walls were, the firewalls were not foolproof. And again, they don't want the public to know, or other cybersecurity folks who might have these ideas to know what type of ransom they eventually paid. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, I'm not embarrassed, Larry. We here at the Urban League had a cyber attack and we went ransomware. So we ended up actually paying what they asked for through Bitcoin.
Yes.
So we had to reach out to someone that handles Bitcoin because they didn't want any cash. I can't believe any. I just can't believe someone wouldn't want cash. The U.S.
The Bitcoins aren't trackable, though. That's why they use that method. They can't be traced.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. And that's why the government doesn't want it as a form of currency, you know, because if I sold you a Bitcoin and it was worth $5,000, you know, then, you know, what if you decide not to give it to me, then how, what repercussions I have? That's not federally insured or anything. So it's always a gamble.
They want you to pay taxes on it. You've got to figure out how to pay taxes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if it's not a form of currency that's accepted, I'm sorry, I'm not participating. Anyways, you know, we're talking about the gas tax again, and it's in the news. You know, the council last week decided that they were going to cut $132 million from the Skyway project that was included on the in the gas tax deal. And as I understand it, that's just the beginning, Doc, that if the taxes are passed and become available to city government, that the mayor and the city council have decided that's they're going to decide how to spend it. And I haven't heard or seen anything about community participation.
No, you have not really seen anything. I heard anything about community participation. The city is on the verge of receiving $343 million from the federal government in relief. And so some of the council members are indicating that we should use this money rather than raising the gas tax, because it's enough money to put $100 million into the Black community in terms of septic tanks. You know, that's something that I'm really concerned about. All we talk about when it comes to the Black community are septic tanks. You know, can we talk about economic development, economic empowerment? Can we talk about being in a position where we can recommend some projects for our own neighborhoods, for our own communities, rather than the mayor and the city council making all of the decisions? So it seems, it just seems terrible that we have a neighborhood bill of rights, which was not codified, at least the part given citizens the opportunity to provide input. They codified the zoning aspects of the neighborhood bill of rights, but not citizens' input. And so in the paper on yesterday, it was indicated by the administration that if the gas tax passes, then the Mayor Curry and City Council will make all of the decisions as to what the projects will be when those two entities develop the 5-year capital improvement plan. So again, we're asking this administration, and very much so this city council, when are you going to step up and do your duty and allow the Neighborhood Bill of Rights to be codified to allow citizens to have input into the process? We want to come up with opportunities in our neighborhoods, in our communities, rather than allowing the council and the mayor to determine everything for us.
Okay, Doc, thank you for that editorial. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily reflect the we, doesn't reflect the station or the management. So that's we're 1 minute into closing up this segment. We're going to be back after this break with our education contributor, Daryl Willie, and talk about what's going on with our schools. This is Praise 107.9. FM, the Empowerment Hour.
The ultimate gospel experience. The new Praise 107.9.
Let's go. I don't know what you're going through, but we stopped by to tell you that what's in front of you is bigger than what's behind you. Your destiny, your promise, your future. You might as well shout before you get it, because God sent me here to tell you that what he has for you is gonna be big.
That it's my season.
That it's my season.
season. You ought to declare that over your own life. Say, I believe.
And I believe.
That it's my time.
That it's my time.
It's my time.
It's my time.
And I can feel it.
And I can feel it.
Say, breakthroughs in the room.
Breakthroughs in the room.
It's yours if you want it. Anticipating. God's getting ready to move.
God's getting ready to move.
Listen, you ought to declare this over your own life. Say it.
For I know
God,
my God,
He's working
a miracle
just for me.
Just for me.
And it's gonna be.
And it's gonna be. Big,
hey!
Big.
Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about my future. Why? It's gonna be big. Shouting into my promise. Why? God's gonna.
God's gonna open the windows of heaven.
Pour
me out a blessing.
I won't have room.
Won't be wrong to complain it.
Can't even try to explain it.
But it's gonna be big.
God is gonna blow your mind.
God is about to blow my mind.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. Happy Saturday. It's Larry Williams, along with Dr. Danford, Jarman Leitner, and our special guest, Darryl Willey, the Vice Chair of Duval County Public Schools. And good morning and happy Saturday, Darryl.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Always a pleasure to be on the Empowerment Hour.
Yeah, thank you for hopping on. Darryl. There's quite a bit of things going on around the schools. What's happening with, first of all, with COVID and masking, and as children are now being allowed to be vaccinated, are there any new information about that, the COVID protocols?
Yeah, so what's interesting about it is I think we've gotten a lot of pressure and a lot of folks kind of coming and say, hey, we need to release the mask mandates now. And they a lot came to our last board meeting in May. And what we're doing is we're staying the course for the end of the school year. It's written into our board policy right now where folks have to wear masks and those sorts of things. So we don't want to change board policy for the last 3 weeks of school. So you're still going to see masks. You're still going to see the distancing in our schools. But what this does bring up is next year, like, what do we do? So there's a survey out right now that parents and stakeholders can take and give us their recommendations. And the last reports that we saw was about, I think it was almost like 70-30, where it was like 70% don't want folks to have to wear masks. So we're seeing that. The data's not all the way in yet, but we do see those trends. And of course, with the CDC coming out with their information, we're probably gonna see those trends continue.
Well, 70-30, man, I was looking for a 50-50.
Yeah, it's definitely not 50-50. There's a lot of course, the vocal parents are the ones taking the survey as well. So, I mean, that's also part of it. But at the end of the day, we have a governor and an education commissioner who don't want masks in schools and wants it to be an option. Plus, you have parental groups now who are rising up, traveling across the state, speaking to different school boards about it. So it's definitely an issue. But now you have the CDC coming out as well, and you have the lowering of the age to be able to get the vaccine. We're going to be taking our part and figuring out how schools can play into that, with whether it's vaccine centers or opportunities to come in. Because at the end of the day, the more people we know that are rolled up their sleeves, the safer the mass populations are going to be.
Okay, so Daryl, are you all going to track whether students have been vaccinated?
See, that's the big question. I don't think we can track that.
I don't think so either.
Either,
like it's just like when we talked earlier, Daryl, about the individual freedoms and whether right. you know so anyone can be told that they must have a passport or be vaccinated. It's a personal decision.
It is, and that's been one of our biggest question marks. Is even with the teachers, we've given them the freedoms to do it, but we can't say like this percentage has done it. And that's what there has to be a level of trust a little bit. And that's why when people say, oh, don't worry about wearing your mask, like, can you really trust that everybody that you're right. sitting in that room with has done it? And you just never know. But
we'll be required to wear a mask on an airplane. And I can't imagine once they open up the cruise ships again, I just can't imagine 5,000 people being on a cruise ship without masks.
That would be, get ready for it, Doc, because that's what they're planning.
You know, people talk about all their freedoms and what they're going to do in the whole nine yards. But this is some serious stuff that we're dealing with. And it's just sad that many people are taking it not so seriously.
Yeah. Well, anytime you placing dollar value over human lives, that's not a great situation. Daryl, what about the students that are having challenges navigating the COVID system and maybe even dropped out or failing in their classes? Are you guys prepared to help them during the summer to try and catch up, or what's the plan?
Yeah, we definitely have a number of programs set up that parents can actually opt into and sign up for. And I think I mentioned this last time, but also we're tracking and monitoring students who need to be in those programs in order to sort of matriculate / move to that next grade. So those programs are going to be readily available. We actually got CARES Act dollars in the millions to be able to do that. And that's happening across the country because folks realize that this was a tough year. Like I was talking to a principal yesterday from one of my schools, and she said this was tough because you had folks come in and then they were out. And if their parents were sick, then they couldn't come in. And there was just so much back and forth and transient students this year more than ever. So I'm glad we have the resources. You can go on our Duval County website if you're a parent who wants to get more information and get involved. Everything from elementary all the way up to high school. So usually it's some of those enrichment sort of activities, but this time we're doing both enrichment as well as some of those academic supports because we know our students need it.
I see a lot of parents in the mall with their kids, and it's not a holiday. I'm saying that there are lots of kids that just aren't going to school.
Doc, my question is, Doc, you in the mall just buying? Who are you buying stuff for?
Doc, you can't assume they're not in school because sometimes I take mine to the mall and they are being educated.
They don't look like they don't look like they're in school.
Doc is jealous because he couldn't do that when he was in school.
You still have many parents who are choosing the virtual option still. And that's absolutely a question for next year as well. Are we going to keep Duval Homeroom, which I don't think the funds will be available to do it. So people have to resort or convert to full on virtual school, which is similar, but a little bit different. So you might see kids out and about who are doing virtual school where you can create your own schedule and do the projects on your own time. So they might be doing the work early in the morning and then taking a break and then coming back to it. So it's not unheard of, but definitely something we're going to continue to see. I think folks are now going to take advantage of this virtual option.
Absolutely.
Right. And again, it's the parents' personal choice of how they want to instruct their student. And right. I have personally seen that in spite of the challenges of COVID, the home instruction has worked well for my children. So it just depends on what works best for your situation. And that's what you should do.
That's it. That's the key. Yeah, and everybody's situation is different. And we actually have some sessions coming up now through the end of June where if you have questions about your choices, and even if it is virtual options, you can reach out to our team. There's some chat features we have on our website, so you don't even have to come in. You can just sort of chat in. Here's my situation. Here's what I'm thinking. Because these are big choices. Some folks are going to choose, if we have a mask, there's a non-mask mandate. Some folks may choose, you know what, I don't want to send my kids. And vice versa. If there is a mask mandate, I've seen folks say, you know what, if there's a mask mandate, I'm not sending my kids. So we're at a very interesting tipping point. And when we make these decisions, and when the state makes these decisions, we're going to see some fluctuation in where parents choose to send their kids to school.
Yeah, pivoting over to that half-cent sales tax, Daryl.
Yeah.
Are we going to have enough contractors ready to work, you know, to ready to respond to all of the work that's going to, I mean, just think of the millions of dollars coming to this community.
Yep.
And you know, and of course we've got a disparity study now going on. So that means that it's going to be limited in terms of our participation in this process. I tell you, this politics is something. On the one hand, your hands are being tied. And then on the other hand, we have all this funding available, and we can't seem to get together. And I guess at another time we can talk more about it.
Well, we definitely have the avenues. So, I mean, we have the avenues for folks to get it. It's just a matter of, we got to make sure as many people are in that funnel as possible in the beginning. And I think that's where I think you all have done a great job. I think we pushed this out. Go and become a vendor, because when you become a vendor, you're going to get notices when bids come out. And that's what happens. People miss them or try to sign up to be a vendor after the bid's out, when you need to be ready when the bid drops. And I think, so we have that opportunity. We have sessions where you can come in and talk to the folks at the district about how to be a vendor. And it's going to start rolling quickly. So Rutledge Pearson is the first school. Actually, this Thursday coming up, you can come out to Rutledge Pearson. As a community meeting, you can walk around, see the designs of what could be. And then you're going to get a sense of, okay, this is a big project. So that means a lot of folks can be put to work on it. And then it's up to us and the community to kind of spread the word and get folks to become vendors in all aspects. And Jarman talks about it. You all talk about it all the time. Like, it's not just building the buildings. It's all these other vendors that the schools need in order to run.
All right. That's right. So we can only do our part by putting the information out there. And then it's up to the business owners to do their part and to be diligent in finding out the information that needs to be gathered and submitted to the school district. Well, we thank you, Daryl, for your participation in this segment and every Saturday. This is Praise 107.9, the Empowerment Hour, and we'll be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Can be anxious at times as I consider the challenges I have to face. Like when I work to get ahead and still fall behind, I start to wonder if I was meant to win the race. Striving to do things right, and when things go wrong, tempted to hide. But this time I will be still. This time I will be still. Thankfully it's hard for me to keep feeling this way. When I consider who is on my side,
the Lord is my help,
walking with me every step I need to take. On the desperate days and the long dark nights, oh,
24/7 he never sleeps.
Thank you, Father. And when I remember, he brings me
strength. This time I will.
has to move. The mountain must obey the words that I speak and bow down to my faith, because I've got a word to do and I'm gonna see it through. God showed me the way and I'm choosing it today. The mountain has to move. The mountain must obey the words that I speak and bow down to my faith, because I've got work to do and I'm gonna see it through. God showed me the way and I'm choosing it today. I have decided this time no mountain can stop me. My help is coming. My help is here in you. The Lord is my help. This time I'm trusting and believing and determined to finish.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. It's Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jarman Leitner, and just finished a really good segment with education contributor Daryl Willie. And now we're getting an update from the Jacksonville Urban League's Entrepreneur Center and Bingham Parkinson. Bing, what's going on? Happy Saturday, brother.
Happy Saturday to you, Larry. Thanks for having me on. And I just want to give some quick updates on a couple of programs that we are working on. We are closing out the PPP applications. That deadline is the end of this month, March 31st. So we are working May 31st. Thank you. We're trying to get all of our clients get their application in by the deadline, May 31st. So we're working feverishly with our clients to get that done.
Great, great. Is there a lot of interest in it right now, or has it waned as the months have gone on?
Yeah, there are still a few clients that had not submitted their application, but overall, there's not as many. Because I think those who are in the know, and we've been speaking to them ever since the application process began earlier. So only a few clients left to get their application in.
Okay. So if you're listening and you haven't applied for your PPP, do so as soon as possible. The money is there. Go get the money. Money.
Yes, and if you're not sure whether you would qualify, you just take that step to find out. Just call.
Absolutely, John. Great point.
Yes, get the information to see if you do qualify.
Yep. Great, exactly.
What else is going on? Any new events, activities, or anything?
Yes, we're also working on the Restaurant Revitalization Grant Program. As you know, that the priority period for women-owned, veteran-owned, and socially and economically disadvantaged-owned companies have priority. So the first 21 days of the application period, which begun on May 3rd, is open to only those three categories of business owners. So we're working with our clients who might, for the most part, fit within those three categories. We're helping them to get their application in as soon as possible.
Are you seeking more applicants or what's the?
Yes. We are having every Tuesday from 6 to 7, we have a workshop for clients who are in the restaurant or food service business to not only give them the information about the program, but also to assist them in applying for the grant.
Okay, oh, great. And when you say in the food service industry, just to clarify for our listeners, that does that include those who have food trucks, those who are caterers, those who have, a standalone restaurant, does it include all of those?
Absolutely. It includes all of those types of business. If you have a brew pub, if you have a microbrewery, it's pretty inclusive.
Okay.
Very, very inclusive.
Okay. And any other classes, anything that you guys have ongoing that our listeners need to be aware of, and how can they reach you and the program?
Well, I talk a little bit about two other workshops that we have weekly on Mondays from 6 to 7. We have a workshop on government certifications. Like in Jacksonville, you're talking about the JSIB certification, the MWBE certification, the DBE certification, the ADA certification. So those types of certification programs, we have a workshop every Monday from 6 to 7 to inform our clients about the certification, the requirements, and the benefits. And then on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we have our ongoing academies. On Wednesday night, our academy is focused on established businesses. We provide training and information on how to expand their business. And then on Thursdays, we have our small business academy for individuals who are looking to start a business, or those who have just recently started a business and are looking for training or education on how to expand their business as well.
Hey, Bing, do you need any more coaches?
Yes, we're always looking for coaches. One of our program will actually end in June 30, and that's the state-sponsored program. However, we expect that program to start up again sometime in the summer, and we'll be looking for coaches to assist us in providing technical assistance to our clients.
Yeah. That's good. And I think that there's the need for coaches is very important in being when you probably next week or so, we need to, talk about the desired qualifications for these coaches.
Absolutely.
Okay. Right. Anything else, Jarman or Doc, for Bing?
No.
All right. Bing, you're welcome to hang on. We're going to shift and pivot back to the community potpourri in Jacksonville and talk about the several things, including the JEA and others. Anything tantalizing on your mind, Jarman?
Well, I just thought it was funny. It's not about JEA, but I don't know if this is going to help those restaurants that have this opportunity to be revitalized through this program with the Urban League. But we see that DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, signed the bill to permanently allow alcohol to go. So now. When you order a meal to go, you don't have to order a sweet tea or a Coke. You can order an alcoholic beverage and take it with you. So, during COVID, it was temporarily allowed because of the social distance and the precautions. But now it's permanent.
Are you saying we can drink and drive now?
It sounds like they're allowing that, and that's not safe. It's not safe at all. But anyway, it's now permissible.
It's amazing what folks can blame on COVID, isn't it? you know, that would never have passed it by any stretch of the imagination. You know, it's a definite opportunity to entice drinking and driving, you know, and I think that's, you know, a questionable decision. But, hey, DeSantis is also spearheading the drive to make the cruise ships start sailing again and without masks.
Yes, yes. And the schools to be fully opened without masks.
Yes. So. Yeah. It's an amazing conundrum that we find ourselves here in Florida with a governor who's, I guess he's just ready to make sure that the economy is one that he's saved and outsmarted everyone else around the country with remaining open or keeping relaxing the COVID guidelines.
Well, Larry, I guess on a last note for all these Jaguar fans and those who like Tim Tebow, it looks like he made the tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's going to be interesting to see this upcoming football season.
Absolutely. And the Jaguars started training camp, I believe, yesterday. And it'll be interesting to see their number one draft pick and how he's, being made comfortable here in Jacksonville. And I think it's going to be a good, media frenzy for the Jaguars this year, just based on that Tebow effect and the new quarterback. So we're looking forward to it and with interesting eyes.
All right.
We're going to wrap this up today. This is Praise 107.9 FM. Larry Williams, Dr. Danford, Jarman Leichner, and our special guests, Bingham Parkinson and Daryl Willie. Thank you, Roger, in the background. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back next Saturday morning, 8 a.m. on the Empowerment Hour. Peace.